Blog Talk Radio.
This is Chick Chat. How is everybody today?
Woo!
We have Karen Ashley on the phone, all nice and spry. How are you?
I'm great. I was just like dancing to your song, Chick Chat, Chick Chat. I was trying to do a solo.
I heard you over there. I was like, oh goodness, she's getting the party started. It's Thirsty Thursday.
Yeah.
So we also have Miss Jill Allen.
Hello, hello, hello. I am doing good. I have been editing all day, so I am so happy to be on the phone, on the radio right now, and out of the editing booth. So, hey,
yeah.
Everybody.
We just ended a four-hour, like, session of watching. I saw you, Daisy, today, all day, and it's been crazy.
Yeah. We caught some clips of you, Daisy, taking your weave out.
You know, I will do anything to pretty much get a laugh out of somebody. And, you know, Jeff wanted a weave, and he kept bitching about his hair. So I had to do something. You know,
well,
it does take guts to take out your weave on camera, let me just tell you.
You got some balls, girl.
You do.
Oh, and I think we're going to get Shanice and Angelique a little bit later. But, you guys, I actually started reading an article, and I wanted to run some things by you guys. When women ask for breaks in relationships, I mean, to me, it's kind of like it's code for, I like you, but I want to see what else is out there. And men think, oh, okay, we're on a break, it's a free, let's just go have fun, do whatever. But then I had to spend I just needed to clear my head, and I'm like, clear your head from what? So what do you guys think? Is a break just a cop-out?
Can I go first?
I don't even think
that's code for I need a break, I want to see what else is out there. That's code for I want to fuck what else is out there.
Exactly.
That's what that is. Like, I'm not even going to sugarcoat it. When a guy tells you he needs a break, he wants to have sex with another girl and doesn't want to feel guilty because he's about to have sex with another woman. And at that moment, you as a woman have to make a choice if you want to deal with a guy who wants to sleep with other women or if you're going to bounce, because I would bounce. That's all that's code for, is I want to have sex with another woman.
So what if it's the woman saying she wants the break?
Oh, I can answer that because I've been there where I really sincerely wanted a break. And I think a lot of women actually do need breaks. Sometimes men can be overbearing. And when a guy is really into a relationship and you're not as into it, they can be really over the top and needy, because men are needy, as we know. And you really do need that break. And I have an example. You know, before I got married, I was engaged to someone else a few years prior. And after that engagement,
she didn't get all the engagement.
Uh-oh.
We'll talk about that next.
Talk about that later. But after that engagement, I went back to school because I wanted to focus on myself, because relationships took so much out of me. And I remember when I was in school, I was like, I'm not going to get in a relationship. I don't want to focus on anybody but me right now. Because I think as women, sometimes we tend to, you know, focus on the guy and the relationship and what his needs are. We kind of like don't focus on us anymore. So during that process, when I was in school, guys thought that I was being a jerk to them when I was like, you know, I am not interested in really being in a committed relationship right now, and I really need my space. And they thought that I was playing them because that's their MO for that word. But in actuality, that was the truth. Like, I needed a break. I didn't want to commit. I didn't want anybody to call my phone. Where are you? What are you doing? What time are you going to be home? Are we still going? I didn't want any of that. I wanted to be free from any of that type of stress, and I didn't want to have to have anyone just need me at that moment. So,
but in the back of your head,
yeah,
in the back of your head, weren't you like, you know, maybe there's something else better for me out there? Like, even though you didn't want the responsibility of having to deal with calling somebody or having somebody, you know, because that's a responsibility all in itself, a relationship.
I guess it is.
I don't care what anybody says. Huh?
Right. No, it is. But you know what? I don't know that, were you even in a place, Jill, where you could sense that that was probably red flag, you know, I need a break, meaning I'm not really, you know, this isn't really the relationship that's going to be my end all, you know?
You know, I think that I needed a break, period. I think that
right.
I had noticed a pattern in myself where when I got into relationships, I kind of stopped focusing on exactly what I wanted to do. And so I said, you know, this time after this engagement and going through the engagement and breaking up, I also realized how much I didn't want to play with love, and I didn't really want to fall in love again unless I was going to marry that person, because it's very heartbreaking. Even if you want to get out to break the other person's heart, it's very, it's a lot of energy. And I said, I don't want to do that again, and I need to focus on me. And I wish I had thought that way at 22, but I didn't. So, you know, here I am in my late 20s, and I was, you know, thinking that way. But I was not in a place at all to relationship with anybody. And men really were offended. They were sincerely offended, as if they don't use that all the time. Like, I'm not ready, or I need a break. You know?
You gave them a taste of their own medicine. Don't you find it funny? But this is where it's kind of like men and women are definitely like that theory. Men are from Venus. I mean, women are from Venus. Men are from Mars. We think differently. We approach life differently. And what we say means something totally different. If they said the same thing, it would be a totally different meaning, I think, behind it. But it's funny because you gave them a taste of their own medicine, and I bet they pursued you even harder. Whereas if you would have been into it and you would have been giving them kind of the attention that they wanted, then they would have probably flipped the script and kind of been like, oh. It's almost like if a person doesn't have that chase, if they don't have that challenge, they almost don't want you. And like I've always told girls, I'm like, a man's going to want you when you give him a challenge and he has to chase.
Yeah.
Because it's almost like they're the hunter. Like, they have that in them to, like, get you, you know?
Yes.
That's hilarious.
Well, let me ask you, with these guys that you know, you asked for a break, you needed it, you sincerely did it. It was it a break where both of you decided, okay, we're not going to see other people? Was that something that you strongly inputted, or was it more of, you know, you can go ahead and do whatever you're going to do?
Let me go back. Explain a little more. No, I called off my engagement. I was done. So it wasn't really a break. It was an end. But I needed a break, meaning that I didn't want to get into another relationship. So I was taking a vacay for Jill to, you know, really find out what it is she wants to do, career-wise, life-wise, what do I want, and not have a man in that mix.
Right. You know what, I say this. This is where men and women are very different, too, and I've noticed with my girlfriends, we actually grow more as people when we have that moment to be alone, where men, it's almost like they never are alone. Like, I don't know one guy who just goes a long stretch without dating someone, unless something's wrong with them or unless they're not, like, you know, but, like, let's just say a normal guy, good-looking, can get women, that kind of thing. They usually are never alone, and they will always have someone around, even if it's like a jump off or it's a girlfriend or it's a wife. They never are alone. Where women, there is a moment in your life, I think you always reach a crossroad where you kind of need time by yourself. And you almost have to, like, you are almost like, it's almost like women get made fun of because it's like they're in that I hate men stage. It's not even that. It's more like I love me stage. So I need time to not, like, you know, because women, I think, naturally, you kind of hit on this earlier, we give a lot of our energy to a man. And it's like we're almost like social workers to love. Like, we give so much of ourselves in a relationship.
That's perfect.
That you
wording,
lose yourself.
Social worker.
You lose yourself. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, but, like, my personal, and this is Daisy, my personal feeling on it is if I've never asked for a break, like, I've just, if I decided this isn't working for me or if there's something that I'm unhappy with, then I just remove myself from the situation and I'll be like, listen, shit ain't working out. I'm sorry. We were great together. And, you know, butterflies and roses and rainbows and all that other shit. But if I were to ask for a break, sincerely, because I had thought about it in one relationship where I was perfectly content. The guy was perfect. He was just great and awesome and all that other great stuff. But then I thought in the back of my head, you know, maybe I need a break, you know, to see what else is out there. You know what I mean? So I don't know if necessarily I'd be like, you know, I just need a break for me. I'd be needing a break to go find someone else. You know what I mean?
But you know what's funny is that when you take a break for yourself, you usually end up finding the right person because when you're taking that time to kind of develop yourself and parts of you that you didn't develop earlier, you end up kind of usually running into the person that is the best compatible for you. That's my opinion, and I think that's what happened in my case.
Mm.
Who is that?
Is that Jeffrey?
Is that Mo?
It's the ex-drag queen. I feel that I could partake in a little chit-chat here, and I have to tell y'all right now, y'all making me grin my teeth, because here's the thing. If anybody, male or female, you need to take a break in a relationship, you don't need to be there, period.
Right?
End of story.
Right? Well,
let's
move on. I agree.
You don't
I think that's the first time. I think that's the first sign, because when you really are into someone, you deal with their, you deal with the bullshit. You deal with the peaks, you deal with the valleys, you deal with the good, you deal with the bad. When you really go, oh, I need a break, then that just kind of is one of those things where you, like, have to be honest with yourself, whether you're in that place or not, but you kind of need a, that's not the person for you.
True.
I agree. I couldn't agree more. And talking about a break, I think we need a break to introduce Angelique, who just joined us.
Hey.
Hello, Miss Faith. How are you?
Hola. How you doing?
So, Angelique, have you ever asked for a break in a relationship before?
Yeah, I'm on a break now. A very long one that I won't be coming off of.
But see, it brings us back to what I had touched upon and what Jeffrey had touched upon, that if you want a break, you really just don't want to be in that relationship. You're looking for something.
I'm done. I'm done with mine. I tried to come off break about a week ago, and he just took a pistol and just, I don't know, he did something. I'm done. He said the wrong thing to me, and I was like,
sorry.
What?
What?
No, you know, I was about to say he pretty much shot his foot off, and then I was like, you know what, I don't want to condone violence on the air, so I kind of just checked that little comment.
Well, I thought she said something about a pistol.
You gotta finish that thought.
Everyone
got silent. No, he really shot himself in the foot. Like, you know what, everyone knows me. Pretty much don't wake me up in, you know, if I'm taking a nap with any BS. And he assumed I had sent him the voicemail. And my phone wasn't anywhere near me. He called me from a random number. I didn't know who it was. They got cussed out. Turned out it was him. All I remember was an F you somewhere involved in that. And I told him after he go F himself. And that was pretty much the end of the conversation.
Wow.
And I was like, you know what? This is not going to work.
When you wake up from a nap?
That sounds like even more issues than just a break.
But, you know what? Like, as quick as it blew up, I feel, see, this is my thing. When you're in a relationship, and this goes for males and females, if something has pissed you off before you call your significant other, do not call them.
Yeah, that's true.
So whatever happened before, I guess he just assumed that he was going to bring it my way, and he just accidentally woke me up, and it just went all bad.
It sounds like you had something going on too, because you were just upset about getting woke up.
You know, that's how I am, period. My mama even knows not to wake me up. And, see, you're forgetting, he didn't text me from his number. He texted me from a regular number, so I just had digits in my phone. It didn't even say his name.
Uh-oh. Wow.
Yeah, so, you know, you wake up and someone's like, oh, why'd you send me the voicemail? Who the hell are you? Wow.
Angelique, can you please
person.
Write a book for us? Can
right.
you please write a book about your life?
Because
honestly,
right?
every single time we have conversations, I'm like, what? How is that even possible? I love it.
Oh,
let
God,
me ask
yeah,
you, and,
yeah.
Let me ask you this. Have you guys ever broken up with somebody because they're not financially stable? Not poor,
no.
but just not in the right financial bracket as you would wish.
Hell
you
yeah.
know what? I will say this. I have, but it wasn't because I was judging them for their financial situation, because that was their situation. But what happened mm-hmm. is that usually when a man is in a bad financial place, he's not the man that he wants to be, so he does kind of pull that into the relationship. And you deal with all the stress of him not being where he needs to be financially. And I think that's mm-hmm. a key thing with men. If you date a guy and he's not where he needs to be financially, he's not going to, you know, be very happy. I think a man
yeah.
wants to, you know, innately make money. He wants to be doing well. I don't know one man that doesn't want, you know, that. Like, I think everyone wants it, whether they get it or not. So I did break up with him, but it was because he was a different person than the person I met when he was doing okay for himself, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And then when things went bad, he turned into a different person. And it was bad. And, I mean... Yeah, it just wasn't good.
No, I agree. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I have... My topic of, you know, would you rather, you guys would like to do that, because I have a question, like, would you rather, as a woman, be with someone, have ultimate love, but unsurety when it comes to finances? Or
Yay.
Would you rather be
Ooh,
financially 100% secure, you know you're going to be retired, you can shop, whatever you want to do, but you're not 100% in love with that person and not
yeah.
sure how your feelings will grow. Who wants to go first?
Well, this is Angelique. I've done that, been there. It doesn't work for me. Love you to death, but I don't love the bus, and I don't like top ramen noodles like that. So we're going to have to have some kind of financially, you know, stability or something, you know. Like, I can't do it. You know, love can only go so far. So if you're sleeping on the floor and you know, you seeing critters and stuff growing, walking past you and stuff growing out the corners. Like, no, that's not cool.
I didn't say you'd be in poverty. I just say you didn't have financial security. God, what?
You didn't depress me. I'm depressed now. God.
Oh, my goodness.
Well, I guess I'm like, if he's going to put it like that, I guess I want the rich guy. Oh, man.
Yeah,
dang.
Well, I want to answer this question next, because Jill brings up a pretty good point. I mean, love is great and everything else, but
mm-hmm.
honestly, if you read the statistics, most marriages, over 80% end because of monetary issues.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't have money, if you don't, you can't even buy some food, you know, for lunch or something, it's going to become a problem. And then you guys are going to start bickering, and then it's going to
uh-huh.
be like, well, you don't do enough. Well, no, you don't. And then,
uh-huh.
you know, you start attacking each other as opposed to working together. And
uh-huh.
that's with any type of financial problem. When it comes down to money, money is the root of all evil, and it seriously is, because it will tear down freaking relationships, families, countries, and we all know this. So I'm going to go with money. On the would you rather.
Money, money, money.
Miss Karen?
That's a tough one. I mean, like I said, the way Angelique painted it, man, I think I'm going to go for the rich guy.
No, Angelique being a homeless person.
What I will say, though, is like, if you've ever been in love, you honestly don't ever not want to have it. Like, if you've ever truly been in love in a functional relationship, I'm not saying a, you know, one-way street where you were in love and he wasn't, or he was in love and you weren't. I'm saying, like, you truly were in love and that person was in love with you and you had this fulfilling relationship. I don't know that I would ever want to give that up. I'm in that situation now. Like, we're not rich, but
it's like one of those situations where we are truly in love with each other. We're truly best friends with each other, and I can't even imagine not having that in my life. You know, it is, I mean, I just can't. So I would have to go with the love.
Yeah.
But are you equals in that relationship as far as what's coming in racial-wise?
Yeah,
you know,
well,
are you guys?
He does, I think, a little bit better than I do. But we're pretty
okay.
equal. We're pretty
mm-hmm.
equal financially.
But that's a little bit different. Let's say that, and I'm going to bring Angelique into this picture just because I know a little bit about her. You know,
uh-huh.
say it's Angelique. She's
uh-huh.
a single mom.
That's
she has children that she needs to take care of. I know, I heard a baby, too. I was like, oh, wait a minute, my ovaries are crying.
Yeah. She wants some money. She's like, I want
some money. Forget what y'all talking about.
So, okay, so I'm going to bring up this little scenario here. It's Angelique. She has two kids. She's a single mother, and she falls head over heels over this guy. But
uh-huh.
he doesn't have a job at the moment, okay?
Maybe.
He has a great family that's supporting him, and he has potential, and he's great to her, and he loves the kids, and the kids love him, and everything's freaking rainbows and roses. But at the end of the day, you know, she's going to have to support him, so it's not
mm-hmm.
equal. What, I mean, would love at that point just be, like, conquering everything?
No.
Okay. So, I have to put it in perspective. I mean, you guys are, like, getting, like, the homeless guy, the lazy guy. I'm not saying that you've got to choose, you know, to the extreme. I'm saying, what if you're going to live an ordinary life? It's not, you know, you may not be able to vacation every summer. You have a basic life. You're not shopping every day. Maybe you're even couponing. But, you, I mean, you're paying your basic bills. That versus having it all financially.
Right. It's like you're paying your basic bills, but you ain't getting to go on vacation. You're just the end of the meeting. That's it. Ain't no extras.
Right.
You know, it's like, it is what it is. But you're in love.
Okay. And he may have a 9-to-5, but what if his 9-to-5 is just, you know, I don't know, maybe he's a bus driver, maybe he's a mechanic, maybe he, you know. So, it's, you know, I'm not saying that you're dating a bad character of man. I'm saying, would you date or marry somebody who wasn't financially secure as TV depicts that you should be, meaning that you need red bottoms on and, you know, your hair done and everything to be perfect? Like, what would you choose? The picture perfect scenario with just the money, or would you pick love and, you know, work every day with working people and make life work?
Girl, I still say love. I mean, I honestly, like I said, I've been without love, and I've been in a relationship where we had extras and we were doing, and there was no, like, true love there, and it was empty. It was meaningless.
Mm-hmm.
It was just, like, he
I'm
was,
sorry,
it was,
Karen.
Just, like, not
Jeffrey
good.
Is calling you a liar, girl.
I'm not lying.
I'm reading what he's posting in the chat room.
He's just a hater because
he's calling your ass out.
He's just a hater because technically he's not a chick and he can't really chat. Ha!
There you have it.
There you have it, Jeffrey. I mean,
hell no.
I know, right? I've been there. I've been with the guy with the cash, and it was, I mean, I'm telling you, it's always like pros and cons to every situation. There are just as equal pros and cons to a financial situation and then pros and cons to the rich guy. Like, they bring baggage, too, trust. They bring it. So it's like, you really, I don't know. I just think that love is so freaking hard to find. And everyone on this earth, that it ends up being, that's your major search. You search for love. You search for companionship. Someone who brings life as opposed to. And it's like one woman who would give that up. I don't know. If she's had a real taste of it, I don't know.
Well,
and
I think that we don't have to give it up. I'm just saying, you know, monetary issues play a large part in a relationship.
Oh,
and
agree.
If I can have the love and the money, that'd be great. But let's
but
just say that.
But that ain't the question.
I know. It's a would you rather. But hell, I'm going to say I'd rather have the money.
There you go.
I'm going to be a gold digger. Okay. It's okay. Oh, wait a minute. We have a comment. We have a caller. Jeffrey, you want to put him through? I believe it's Michael Fishman.
Oh, Karen, I love you. Thank you for taking the right side on this one.
You're welcome. Who is this? Michael Fishman?
It's Michael Fishman. I was listening
Yay!
To you, lady.
Hey!
I have to say, you find the person that you're supposed to be with, or you find the best people when you're not looking. I think that that is absolutely true. But,
mm-hmm.
man, money comes and goes. If you don't have somebody, you're going to spend the rest of your life dealing with bullshit. I'm just telling you. You know, when I met my wife, I had some money. Now I don't have a lot of money, but she stuck with me. Sooner or later, I'll make more. Money can be found. You can work things out.
Yes, I totally agree. This is Jill. I completely
agree.
I'm a man. Yeah. And I believe that money comes and goes as well.
I think about it.
Like, look at websites. There's websites for you to meet someone. There's social gatherings so you can meet someone. There are men who go to clubs. Everybody's going to start to meet someone. So it's...
Oh, Miss Karen, you're cutting in and out, babe.
I was going to say that I agree with Karen, and I agree with Michael, and I do. And, you know, I think that love is something that's very hard to find. And if you can find it, I would rather have love over money. And I believe that money can come and go. And, you know, I've seen it in my life where you're up and you have a great job and it's, you know, paying great money, and then you lose it and things turn around. I think a lot of Americans have, you know, gone through a lot of things like that recently, and you realize what's really important. And when you have that love as a foundation and a base, it's just like you can still go on, you can rebuild, you can move forward. And so mm-hmm. I think that for myself as well, I would choose love.
But, Jill, weren't you the one that said that you blame Disney for women being the way that they are?
Blame TV? No, I said I blamed cartoons, like the princess cartoons and all that stuff where the guy was going to come and, you know, take all their problems away. And, yeah, I do.
Wait, in those cartoons, they're always marrying the rich guy. They're always marrying the prince. They're always marrying, you know. It's never they marry the poor dude.
Hey, and I think that's why
Who's
I don't
typing?
Like them. I prefer, yeah. I think that, and I have a daughter, and you know, me and my husband have talked about, like, not even introducing her to those types of movies unless she requests it, you know, because I think it does give them a little bit of false, a falsehood of, you know, what life is really about. What is all that noise?
I hear kids.
Where you at? Mute your phone. Somebody at, like, the racetrack or something.
I know. First I heard typing, then I heard kids.
I think it's that Angelique girl.
The baby's gone. I'll take that blame.
I'm in Reno, so I'm standing outside. I don't know if it's me, unless you guys are hearing any cars go by.
We are.
That's what.
We're hearing it all. Like, I'm hearing a siren. We're, like, see?
Well, I'm sorry. I was getting my nails done. I was like, it's time to do the show, and I ran out. I took one for the team so much I just realized he messed up on my pinky finger.
You better go back in there.
The pinky finger.
Right, not the pinky.
You cannot have a messed up pinky finger.
Oh, I'm going back. I'm going to show though after the show.
They're going to yell at you for messing up your pinky.
Right. Oh, you already know what's going to happen.
Oh, yeah, I know. I think we've all been there. So,
ooh,
let me ask you. We know
ooh,
the whole,
Daisy,
okay, you look like a what?
No, I said, I wish I could twit pick this sexy, sexy man that just walked by me as I was talking about my pinky.
Do a text and run. Text it, take a picture and text it to us, and we'll put it on the chat room. I'll send it to Jeffrey.
I will, and I'll tell him I need a break next week.
I don't want to see no bitches fucked up pinky nail.
They won't be able to pinky nail be of him.
That's the reason to take a break.
No, she was going to send a picture of the guy that was walking
yes.
by her.
Yes. Oh,
hey.
Oh.
Okay, so let me ask you guys this. Going back to relationships, because I'm on a relationship whirlwind today.
Okay.
Do you guys think it's smart to rekindle a relationship with an ex? I mean, do you think that the same problems might resurface, or people change? So, anybody?
I say no. I say usually when you break up for a reason. And when you rekindle, it's because you forgot what those reasons were. And so I would say no. I would not go back to someone I broke up with. Because there's a reason I broke up with them. And unless they change majorly, nah. I think you should always move forward in life. Don't move backwards.
Well, this is Angelique. I don't say rekindle a relationship. But, I mean, unless you guys want the benefits, then, yeah, benefits all day long. Relationship, no.
It's a different name for that. That's not rekindling.
Right. You know, I didn't want to say it, but.
I'm telling you, it's 50 Shades of Angelique. She is a freak. Y'all just know. I'm putting her ass on blast right now. Well, Miss Karen, would you rekindle a relationship with an ex?
Absolutely not. I always find it when it ended for a reason. And usually I just feel like people don't change, and people don't change that drastically. So it would have to be, I've heard of people getting back together and it working out, but usually those instances were like 10 years later. You know, where people really have the time to change. I just always feel like if it ended for a reason, and you need to kind of accept that it ain't going to happen. Like, it really takes major, major things in your life to change a person. So unless something major happened in their life, talking like death, talking, you know, a different, like a man gets a major job, his life, he goes from poverty to rich. I mean, it's like something drastic has to change a person's outlook on life. And they're not going to be any different.
Okay. Well, what if it's somebody like a high school sweetheart?
I've been down that road. It was a high school sweetheart. And trust me, we went back like 3 times, and it was the worst thing I could have ever done. It was bad, horrible, and worser. The worstest. If there's anything,
the worstest.
There's even a freaking word. I'm going to make up a word just to describe that.
I see.
I wouldn't go back to anything that was the worstest either.
What if it was something that just ended well? Like, I'm just going to go ahead and put my dirty laundry out there. But let's just, you know, say that I might or might not have had a high school sweetheart who was just absolutely perfect for me, and I was for him, and our families got along really, 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 really well. And let's just say that, you know, I ended up meeting someone else, he met someone else, and years later, you know, we still talk. We get along really, really great and everything else. Had it not been for the fact that, you know, I met someone else and got married, there probably would have been something there. And it wasn't that we ended because, you know, our relationship was bad or we were doing bad or, you know, anything like that. It ended basically because of schooling, you know. One went off to university, you know, had to do their own thing, blah, 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 blah. So, instances where nothing wrong was really with the relationship, just, you know, you kind of just go back after all those years.
Right. But this is my thought. This is what I think. This is where I go, I think women, and I'll pick on women right now. I'm going to kind of probably piss some of you off. But I think women, we get too stuck in the what-if zone and the coulda, shoulda, woulda.
Yeah.
And we're so nostalgic, and we think, oh, it coulda, shoulda, woulda. But I look at it this way. When you met your husband, it coulda, it shoulda, and it did. It was like you went from A, B to Z. You got married. Like, it, whatever the journey was, it was a journey to take you to marriage and commitment, and I love you, and you're the one for me, and I'm the one for you. Where this guy, yeah, you might have had moments, and you might have had time, but I know people who get separated by distance, get separated by circumstance, and they still figure it out, and they feel like if the love is greater than anything, they figure out a way to stay in love and connected, and they don't allow anything to come between that love. So that's why I always say women, I always tell women, we get stuck in the coulda, shoulda, woulda. And it's not that, if that situation was really meant to be, it would have been.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I just always go back to, like, the theory of, you know, a man meets a woman, and when a man really wants a woman, he will make her his wife. Period.
Yeah.
There's no, like, kind of half step. Because I bet when your husband met you and he fell in love with you, he was like, you're going to be my wife. Boom. I got you.
Yeah.
You know?
It was actually
they're territorial
a little too much.
In that way.
Yeah, no, I agree. Hey, Karen, have you seen my kitty?
Have I seen your what?
My kitty.
I hope not.
I said my kitty. I was like, I don't want to see your kitty, Daisy.
No, because there's a kitty on the line.
Hey.
Hey.
Hello.
Hey.
Why you got to rat me out? I'm just trying to creep on the line and hear some chick chat.
Oh, fuck.
Well, we don't want you creeping.
I miss you, Katrina.
But I'm a creeper. That's what I do. I know. I'm telling you.
Well,
I'm China.
I think I'm the territorial one in my relationship because I can tie it down, lock it up, and own it.
There you go.
What are you talking about, Katrina? Katrina's territorial with her friends, too. Like, I'm not allowed to have certain friends because she just likes them.
True. I get jealous. I get mad. I'm not usually like that. Like, you know, most girls are like, oh, I'm your only best friend. I'm the one and only blah, blah, blah. No, I'm not the one and only best friend. That's fine. I'll share Daisy with her husband and with all of her other friends. But she's got these two twins that got to go.
What's wrong with them, Katrina?
Well, you know, they just butt in and they think because they were there first on the scene that they're number one. And let me tell you, they done been replaced. They're like number 8 and 9 now on the rotation, and they just need to respect my authority.
Daisy, how does it feel when you try to blend two friendships and they don't quite blend? Like, it's like oil and water.
Oh, my God. Well, luckily, you know, I tend to keep them separate pretty well, but Kitty's just so possessive. She's like, fuck them. Don't invite them. I don't want them here. You're mine. And I'm like, oh, my God. It's like having a jealous boyfriend, and I'm not getting lucky.
It is because it is. I'll tell you where it all stems from. It stems from, well, like I said, I'm jealous of them because they've been around longer, quite frankly. But also, it stems back to when Daisy was getting married and I was going to be, you know, the maid of honor, but I was flying all over the world and I was so damn busy. I missed all the meetings. I missed all the important stuff. And she's like, dude, what can I do? So she replaced me with one of these twins. And I'm like, okay. Yeah,
you got replaced.
Yeah, I got my whole title just taken away.
And wait. Let's clear the air.
I was okay with that. What I was not okay with was that I get to throw the bachelorette party. Everybody knows I do parties. That is what I do best.
That's
so, fine. I throw a kick-ass bachelorette party, obviously. And these twins, in my never-to-be-humble opinion, fucking ruin it. They show up.
What?
Yes,
what they do, lock the strippers out?
No, Daisy doesn't really realize that this is what happened, but this is what happened, and I'm still holding
tell it.
Grudge.
Tell it, Katrina, tell it.
Yeah, they show up with these shitty little, like, the miniature bottles like you get of alcohol at the airport, like on the airplane, you know, those minis. But they bring the crappiest ones that are, like, 25 cents each because they can't sell them. So they bring these $4 for $1 little airport miniatures, and they're like, do a shot, Daisy, do a shot. I'm like, no, don't do a shot. I have bottles lined up in a limo. Don't do a shot of that bullshit. We got real stuff coming. Don't do it. Of course, Daisy's nice, and she does it, and then she does another one, and then she does another one, and they're this weird, cheap crap. Like, they're blending Smirnoff watermelon and grape with Bailey's, with Jaeger. I'm like, you people are cool. So by the time we get in the limo, Daisy spends the entire time of her bachelorette party blacked out in the bathroom, and I'm holding her hair.
Where were the twins?
They did it, and they didn't listen to me. I know how to party, and they should have listened, and I'm still mad. And
I need to know this. Where were the twins? Did they hold her hair at all?
No.
One of them did. What?
Whatever. They suck.
How do you feel about that, Daisy?
That's hilarious.
Okay, so what happened was, no, this bitch, okay. You got to realize that Katrina's very territorial. She literally peed on my leg and claimed me for everybody.
You're my soul. That's it.
What? She done sprayed me good, and I'm hers for life, and that's just about it. I have these two twin friends who I've been really good friends with since I was, like, 12. And, you know, I met Katrina about 4 years later. And I was always with them, so Katrina was very possessive about that. But Katrina was my maid of honor. I had chosen her. I had picked her. But at the time, she was not in town. She was crying everywhere. I was having trouble, you know, trying to get her to do food tasting, the cake tasting, getting the flowers, doing all the maid of honor crap. So I asked her. I said, listen, Joanna, which is one of the twins, I said, she's done this before.
I
said,
yeah,
I'm going to put her name out. Well, they're my only twin friends, so, you know, anybody that listens to the show is going to tell them anyways. Yeah, they're already going to know anyways, so it's okay. It's already out there.
They could call in for their opinion.
Right, get their side of the story.
Right. So, and the thing is that they are my friends. I've known them for years. Like, I love them dearly. And so I asked Kat, I said, are you okay with this? Because you're not going to be here if she, you know, can be my maid of honor in your place or whatever. And she goes, you know what? I'm not here enough in order for me to help you. So, yes, go ahead and do it. I know she was hurt. And we've already talked about this, but apparently we're throwing dirty laundry out. So.
No, I'm not done. There's
more.
So then what happened was,
I was
a rhetoric major in college, a speech major. We get to speech time during the wedding, and the twin pops up and gives the worst, shittiest speech I've ever heard in my life. It was
Daisy, keep it real. How was the speech?
Shitty.
No, I mean, it was very...
Daisy, don't be nice. Don't be sugarcoating. How was the speech? Good or bad?
It wasn't
good,
great. But it wasn't bad.
Okay, bullshit.
No, it was.
I still remember.
It was
mediocre.
It was mediocre.
Yeah,
okay.
But It was, well, what can I say? Everybody lift your glasses. Congratulations, Davey.
That was the entire speech? That's horrible.
That was it?
That was bullshit.
Oh, my.
Exactly.
She didn't even prepare.
Thank you. Exactly. Now, I was there when they met. So I had a whole thing that just flew right off. It's on the wedding video, and it's brilliant. Because, like I said, that's what I went to school for. So just all I'm saying is maybe you don't need one maid of honor that sucks. Maybe you need two maids of honor and give them duties that they're both good at. Let me give the speech. Let me do the party. Let some other chick do the rest.
You can have a maid and a maid of honor.
Well, when I get married again, we can talk about that.
Oh, my.
We can. But,
Jill, you're kind of unbiased because, you know Daisy, you know Katrina. What are your thoughts about that kind of situation?
I think that if I was Katrina, I would be hurt if that was stripped from me, that title was stripped from me. I would be hurt. And
well, but it wasn't her fault. It really was not her fault at all. I was out of the country 29 days a month. It wasn't her fault. That part doesn't hurt my feelings because she gave it to me first, and she talked to me woman to woman. She did the classy thing, and she says, is this something you can actually do? So that part doesn't bother me. I just still dislike the twins.
Okay. Because I was going to say, it's almost one of those situations where if you were gone 29 days out of the month, it's almost like you don't really have room to kind of be mad about that.
No, I know I don't, but yeah. I could still dislike
okay.
them.
But wait. Best friend.
You know what this bitch did subliminally, I think, but she claimed she felt like shit afterwards. But one of the so-called twins.
Listen.
You let me talk, bitch. You let me talk.
My story.
Let her talk, Katrina. Let's get
an accident.
Okay. So my friend, the other twin, okay, she recently got married, and Katrina was my date to the wedding. Everything was grand. We were dancing. Katrina was getting my parents hammered. She was getting me hammered. She was hammered. It was great. It was a free open bar. You know, we were having a great old time. We decided to go dancing. Katrina, all of a sudden, she's very, very tipsy and goes, oh, let's go dance with the bride. She's right there. And we're like, okay. So we start dancing. This bitch has red wine in her hand. She spilled it all over the front of her dress.
No.
Katrina.
Bible.
Tell the truth. She
didn't do it on
purpose. Was that on purpose?
Did you get into a fight after that?
Listen.
She didn't do it on purpose.
I don't love the twins, okay? But I would never, ever, ever, ever sabotage somebody's special day. I promise on everything that was an accident. I promise that was an accident. Thank God it was at the end of the wedding. And the only reason I was drinking red wine is because they were out of everything else. I'm still horrified. But the bride did handle it with grace and said, don't even worry about it. I begged to get it cleaned, and she said it was no problem and that it came out. But I do feel absolutely awful because, like, even my worst enemy, I would never do that to. That's just low. I mean, I would never, ever mess with somebody on their special day, ever. You know, I was there to support. I don't love them. I'm still jealous that they've been friends longer, whatever. The jealousy is fading, to be honest. The jealousy is fading because I know she loves me more, so that's okay. But I acted, and then I had to, like, check myself, and I was like, listen, bitch, are you a hideous person, and did you just do that, like, subliminally? Did you just actually do that? Because that's what's going on in your convoluted little brain. But I actually think it was an accident because I I really don't dislike them enough to ever try and do something bad.
Yeah, it was
horrifying. Horrifying.
She sat down the rest of the night and didn't move. She was so embarrassed.
What I want to know is how bad the twins talk about Katrina to you afterwards. Because I know she, you know, said something to you about Katrina after the wedding.
Who, my friend?
Yeah.
Yeah, the bride. What did the bride say to you about my spilling all over her after?
You know what was funny is that she even told me, she goes, my mom took it to the dry cleaner. She's like, they got it out. She's like, I didn't care. She's like, it was just, she spent almost nothing on the dress, so she didn't care. The dress was, like, really, really cheap. She didn't spend, like, you know, $6,000-$7,000. So she, honestly, she didn't care. It was her friends who said something after. And they were the ones that are like, oh, my God, I can't believe that happened. And I put their asses in check because I said, you know what? Fucking accidents happen. I was like, it'll be an accident when I run over your foot if you keep on talking shit.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
I will cut a bit if they hurt any of my friends.
So this is my thought. So, like, this is what I'm thinking. Do those twins talk bad about Katrina ever?
No, not at all.
No, they're nice girls. They're very nice girls. They're classy women.
You're the mean one.
They're classy women. They didn't mean to sabotage her bachelorette party. They're just not as good at partying as me.
Right,
that's true.
Okay.
They didn't mean to give a shitty speech. They're just not as good at speaking as me.
Katrina,
right,
how could you not like such nice girls? They don't talk about you. They're not. She spilled wine on her dress. She's okay about it. Like, you got to like them.
I know, and that just makes it worse.
It's that jealousy that keeps creeping in. I mean, but I've had perfectly nice friends and perfectly nice girlfriends, and you try to mix the girlfriends together, and they don't like each other. And you're like, what the heck? How is it that we get along, and you're cool, and I know you're cool? How do y'all not like each other? And there's no rhyme or reason as to why they don't like each other. And it usually comes down to they just don't like the fact that they mean something to you as well. Like, it's kind of that little competition of who loves who more.
Yeah.
But have you guys ever dated?
I'm only that way with Daisy.
I hope so. Otherwise,
yeah,
you have issues.
Yeah, I don't know why, but
yes,
I will say this,
Katrina. Daisy
mm-hmm.
and I have gotten so close ever since you've been in China. I mean, we talk
every
day, and we're so close now. I mean, I threw her a birthday party while you were gone. I mean,
But that's okay, because I love both of you, so that's fine. And you know what? I love Angelique, and I have no problem sharing Leaky Love because I love her.
Oh,
yeah,
that's true.
I know everybody's on point, then that's fine.
Damn it, I was trying to get you. I was trying to get you riled up.
Karen, sleep with a freaking knife in your hand because this bitch will come back to cut you.
Very true, very true.
Listen, I'm not trying to
throw a party out
where I tolerate your connection.
We
for
only
anything.
Talk every other day, not every day.
Oh, okay, good. Okay.
I take it back.
No, but you know what? Like, I love Katrina. Like, she is my number one. She knows it. But my twins are also my friends. They're very, very sweet. I hold, like, my friends to a very, very, like, high degree. Like, I only surround myself with people that are positive and who, you know, inspire me. So with Katrina, it speaks highly of her because I'm always with her, and it's hard because she's in Vegas, I'm in L.A., and we tried to at least, you know, get together at least once a month, if not more. So,
I will say that being an outsider looking in and seeing your friendship, I totally get it. Like, I see what she brings to your life. I see what you bring to her life.
And I get it. Like, I get the bond. I get the closeness. And it's a beautiful thing to see women, you know, two women that are, you know, you guys are in two different places in your life, but you're so loving of each other, which is great. You know, and she's always talked about you. So to finally get to know you and work with you, and so it's, like, really cool, you know. I will say that.
Yeah, I only keep good people in my life. No twins.
Absolutely. Yep.
No twins. No twins. Say no to twins, people. If you didn't learn anything
else,
I hope they call in.
Oh, oh my goodness.
If you learn nothing else, say no to twins. They'll get you every time.
Well, and they don't even know that this is how I felt. So if you're a twin,
you're
listening. Sorry.
Yeah.
It'll be jealousy. Like, you even said, like, they're classy women. They're perfectly nice. And just your jealousy. That's what's so funny.
I know. And they're great. It's just that they're just not my cup of tea.
Wow.
Wow.
And that's the funny part. Because I kept telling Katrina, I'm like, but they're so nice. How can you not like them? She's like, I fucking hate them. So I was just like, okay then.
Yeah, so, there's no reason. It's my own issue, and I own that, but I can't explain it. It's fading a little, but it's still there.
Well, all I'm saying is to everybody that you should love all your friends and not pick and choose and hate on your other friends' friends.
Is that a direct statement to Katrina?
I'll say this. Other than the wine incident, I've always been perfectly behaved around them, and that was an accident, I promise.
This is actually a girl thing, though. This is such a girl thing. I don't think dudes go through this, where they kind of, like, battle for attention with friends.
Not at
like,
all.
But all my girlfriends
want to be number
they
one.
Don't care.
All of them.
I've seen some of your other friends, Katrina, who, yeah, they do battle for your attention.
Yeah. Yeah.
And
Angelina's seen it. Davey's seen it. Yeah, they've seen it.
But wait, you know what's funny? Is that all of her other friends always battle, and I don't care.
Right.
Oh,
yeah, that's
no.
You're
wow.
So, Daisy, you're saying that you're the mature one.
Yep. You know what? I wouldn't say I'm mature. I've never been the jealous type, not even in relationships.
She's a secure one. She's a secure one. She's the one who has the most confidence.
Yeah. Okay. I'll take that.
That's true.
Because all the other girls, for some reason, they have, like, their confidence is a little low. So they have all these kind of, like, side issues.
Yeah, mm-hmm. They need to step up their cookies.
I feel like I'm talking about a married couple.
Well, I don't know. Well, ladies, I don't know what to tell you. We talked about relationships. We talked about no to exes. Don't rekindle that relationship. Be careful with Katrina because she will cut you if you get near me.
That. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Don't wear white around her and red wine because it'll be disastrous.
Yep.
I don't know. What did you guys learn from today?
Bitches be tripping.
Well, you know. So, Miss Karen.
Is the kitty?
Hello? Is she gone?
Hello?
She done left us.
She got scared. She got scared because she's getting close
She'll
to you.
She'll be back momentarily.
Is that Jeffrey?
Yeah, it's not me.
Oh, she's back. I think she got a phone call from those twins.
The twins can be found on Davey's Facebook page.
That is correct.
And this is such a hot topic...
You guys can message Katrina, and what we could do is actually have a conversation. Maybe we can have him on the show. Maybe
oh, gosh.
Hash
I'm
going to
be sick that day.
The Battle of the Friends.
I'm going to be sick that day.
I think that you should give them a test and figure out really which one knows you the best, and that way you'll know which ones are really your friends.
Oh, goodness.
Jill, you're done.
I'm
going to
win that all day, every day. Yes.
Every day.
I'm down to play any game that I'm going to win. That's why I never play just the chip, because I always lose.
Oh, my God. We got to go, you guys. It was a great show. Thank you, Jill, Karen, Katrina, and Lee. Good night, guys. Have a
good night.
Guilty pleasures.
Hey, hey,
hey,
hey.
I can't cat. Don't be talking about me, kitty. I know you.
We're saying what we want, give it to you non-stop. Any place, any time, not afraid to speak our mind. That's just the way we roll, we're never gonna go. Unstoppable, original, unscripted radio.
Woo! Hello, everybody. Happy Thursday. This is Karen Ashley. You know you're listening to Unscripted Radio. We are the most uncensored radio in town, so cover your children's ears. This is for mature audiences only. Hi, guys. How are we? Jeffrey, where are you, my love?
I'm right here. Hey.
Hey.
What's up, Mama?
And Katrina Johnson's back in the house. We've missed Woo. You.
Oh, man. I'm so jet lagged. I just woke up. And let me tell you, I don't know how those Chinese are so skinny because I've been eating their food and I done ballooned up.
Did you just really call them the Chinese? What the fuck? Could you be any more racist?
I'm not racist. They know I call them that. I was in their country for 10 days telling them that.
Wow. Oh. Is Michael Fishman
here? No, Michael Fishman is not here, but you're the other Yellow Ranger. You're replacing me.
Oh my goodness. You guys know today we have been so excited. We're so counting down the days because our fellow friends, fellow co-stars in different seasons, my Power Ranger family is on the show tonight. We have Nikita Baris in the house tonight. Hello, Nikita.
Hello. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can. Loud and clear.
Okay.
Hi.
How are you?
Good.
I know Jessica, Ray, and Jason Font are going to join us as well, right?
Yes, they're supposed to. I thought they were already here, but I guess not. Yes, they are supposed to be joining as well.
Awesome. We'll definitely introduce them once they get on. But I think the No Nerds here is taking over the Unscripted Radio show, correct?
Yes.
Wow.
No Nerds here is going to be taking over today. Or at least for an hour.
I know, right? Just for a little while.
Just for a little.
We got to know all about this because, I mean, I've been seeing it on Facebook. I saw it at Morphicon, and we were all at Morphicon, and I kept seeing No Nerds Here. I don't even know the concept. Tell the audience what this web series is about.
Well, you know, the idea came from a young lady named Rebecca Christian, who is a dear friend of Jessica's. And she's the creator of the show. She's gone to a couple of conventions and just observing the things that happen at conventions, and she came up with this idea that basically came from her experience at conventions. So we were at actually the San Diego Comic-Con, and she had asked me if I was interested in being part of it. I'm going to let Jessica tell when she gets on, because she has more of a backstory. Oh, she's here. Okay.
Ray is in the house. Hey, Jessica.
Woo-hoo!
She knows more of the backstory of how it was created, the actual title. So I'm going to let her say that.
I just asked Nikia. I said, we saw it at Morphicon. We've seen it on Facebook. I like the Facebook page. But tell us the concept about the show, No Nerds Here.
So it's a scripted mockumentary that follows three former Power Rangers to comic conventions, and it's just about our experience with the various fans. So a lot of it is true to life. Some of it is made up. I'm sure you, Karen, have a lot of fan stories you could tell.
Tell her how you came up with the name No Nerds Here, though, because you were sharing that when we were out in in Minneapolis? You were saying how No Nerds Here came about, the actual title.
so my friend Rebecca had come with me to a couple of comic conventions, and I was telling her after the first Morphicon I attended that a fan stood up and said, "This question is for Jessica," and I was kind of nervous because it was my first convention, my first panel, and he was kind of singling me out, and he said, "I just want to know, when you became a Power Ranger, did anyone warn you that a bunch of nerds would be following you around?"
That's funny.
And I was just, I was like, oh my gosh, what do I say to that? You know, I'm like looking into the crowd, seeing a bunch of people that I had already met at my table, I had talked to, and yeah, you know, they're really into Power Rangers, and I guess you could call that nerdy, but they were really kind, sweet people. I'm sure you know Power Ranger fans are just, they're loyal and they're awesome.
Right. Yes.
And I looked out into the crowd and I said, "I don't see any nerds in here," and they just went crazy.
Yeah, that was nice. That was a lie, but that was nice. They know they're nerdy, but that's why I love them, because they're eccentric. But no, I love it. I love that you're a nice person.
I call them nerds. I own the name
nerd.
No nerds.
I'm here.
A fan.
I don't know if he's a nerd or not, but Jason's here.
Oh, he's definitely a nerd.
Jason.
Everybody,
how are
Jason
you? Jason Font is in the house. Jason,
I'm
how
in the
are
house.
You, my love?
What's going on?
Oh, well, we're talking about No Nerds Here. We're like all day, every day, all about this new web series.
Well, awesome. Glad. Thank you so much. What's going on?
You're
what
welcome.
I missed?
Well, you didn't miss much. He was telling us how we got the name No Nerds Here. And I told Jessica, I love the fact that she said, "Well, I don't see any nerds here." And I was like, I told her she's a nice person. We know our fans are a little nerdy, but I love them because of that, because they're all like they're all just themselves. That one thing I love about our fans, they don't care that it's been 20 years. Like, they're going to support us no matter what. They're going to show up in the spandex. They're going to recite every episode word for word. Like, that's true, like, true love.
Yeah.
Yes, that is, for sure.
Did Jessica
right.
tell you that she's the one that said that? Because that was actually me that really happened that way.
Oh, Jason.
She's taking all the credit. She's
oh, my gosh. I knew I should have made sure I got in before her on the queue.
You should have got it out of the
chat. Such a liar. Such a liar.
So tell us how it was to film at Morphicon, because you guys actually filmed... We were filming there, too, but you guys were filming as well. And how was that?
Yes.
It was tiring. I mean, a convention in itself is, you know, is tiring because you sort of have to be on all the time. But, you know, we started early that day on Friday before the convention opened its doors. And it was pretty awesome because a lot of fans came to be background performers.
Awesome.
And they came with their costumes, not just Power Ranger costumes, but we asked for a bunch of different costumes. We had a Darth Vader. People were running around with swords. Like, it was awesome.
Come on, guys. I sounds like nerdy people.
I like it when men run around with their spandex swords.
I love spandex and I love a sword. I'm telling you right now. I don't like wearing it myself. But I like it when my fans wear it.
So I have a question. Speaking of spandex swords, Jason, how are you
yeah,
doing?
Yeah, I'm the guy that has both. Talk to me, Karen.
Okay.
Well, this is Kat. You're safe with Karen. You're not safe with me.
That's true. It's very true.
Yeah. Just so you know, sir, you requested me on Facebook. We're friends, and I now stalk you.
Oh, I love it. I love
and,
it. That's right. I saw you in one of those things, Kat, and that's right. You guys are filming that over there, right?
Yeah.
I was a half-naked blonde. I'm the one that was advertising. trying to find a Power Ranger husband so that I can have some Power Ranger baby gravy.
So,
let me ask you some important questions, because I need to know. One, are you
right.
single?
I am married.
I love the way everybody, I'm married.
Oh, that's unfortunate. Well, okay, then.
Just on Tuesdays and Thursdays.
Oh,
you take it early.
Today's Thursday. Well, tomorrow I'll stalk you again, and hopefully I'll say hi to a single you on Facebook. One more question, because, of course, our fans want to know. Boxers or briefs?
Oh, briefs for sure. Briefs for sure.
Briefs in the chat room going crazy.
I got to have, like, my tight Calvin Klein briefs. Those are the way that I go.
Excellent. Good to know. No grandpas here.
No grandpas here.
Very important. Okay. All right, Karen, back to you.
Okay, back to me. All right. Well, this is my question. All of you, I know this is, like, an exciting web series. All of you have, like, huge careers outside of, you know, Power Rangers. Like, a lot of times our fans, they, you know, obviously that, I always say it's the biggest thing we'll ever do. It's an amazing gig that we had. But you guys have gone on and worked in other, you know, other shows. You guys have your own businesses. Why don't you tell your fans about some of that stuff? And we'll start with Miss Jessica, because she's got a clothing line I'm crazy about.
Well, hello. I sort of missed half of the question.
Oh, God.
But I'm going to talk about my clothing line.
Yeah, talk about that. I was just saying that, you know, Power Ranger fans, they love Power Rangers, but they don't know that you guys have done so much more since then. And I want them to kind of know about the stuff you're doing now.
Yes, I design a line of vintage-inspired swimsuits called Ray Swimwear, which Ray is my last name, obviously. And I couldn't come up with anything more creative. So that's what it's called. I love Audrey Hepburn. I love that time period. And I just decided one day I was going to make a swimsuit. And I wore it to the pool. And a lot of people asked me where I got it. And so I went to business school. I decided to put my business school to use. And I started my own line, started my own company, and I've been going strong for 5 years.
Wow.
They're beautiful. They're beautiful, too. Catherine Sutherland has two of Jessica's swimsuits.
She does. She is one of my biggest fans.
Aww. Where can they find them? How can they get them? Because I know everybody's going to want to have a Jessica Ray bathing suit.
On the website is rayswimwear.com, and I'm getting into more stores here and there, but they're few and far between in the U.S. For some reason, I have a lot of stores selling my stuff in Canada. I have one in Belgium. I have one in Italy, but trying to get more in the U.S. So if they're in the U.S., then they're going to have to go to my website, rayswimwear.com.
Awesome.
What about you, Jason? I know that you got a lot going on in your life. And you've got no nerds here. What else are you working on since Power Rangers?
You know what? I've actually been fortunate on the print side. I do a lot of print work. Because
you're
all
beautiful.
I
see that.
I'm beautiful. Thank you so much. Oh, who just said that?
Well, that was Kat. Sorry.
Stalker number one.
I got to meet Kat. So,
yeah, you do.
But I just spent the last year doing Resident Evil 6, the new video game that's coming out October 2nd.
Wow, that's
so
amazing.
I play the role of Leon, who's the main guy, and I do all they've modeled everything after me, but I do all the body work, all the motion capture stuff for that character, and that was off and on for almost a year, over a year we worked on that job.
Wow.
So that comes out. That comes out October 2nd. Right before Christmas, of course.
I'll be in line October 1st.
October
1st. I like how he says, no hope left. What does that mean? Are you the bad guy?
Wait, say it again?
On your picture for this project, where it says the date is on October 2nd, it says no hope left.
Oh.
Are you the bad guy?
No, I'm the main good guy. I'm the lead protagonist. That's just the term they're using because the zombies are taking over. Unfortunately, I'm not a big video game guy, so I didn't know much about the game till I started working on it. But it's just zombies taking over the world, so that's the whole no hope left thing.
Very cool. Very cool. Well, I'm very excited. Everybody, you know what to do. You got to support him. Nikia Baris, tell
yes,
the world what you've been up to, because you are up to so many different things.
Well, you know what? I had the pleasure of being on your show last week, which I always appreciate it so much. And I spoke about my T-shirt line. I'm definitely not as far along as Jessica is. I just started our Christian T-shirt line this year. Our website just got up maybe a month and a half, 2 months ago, called Eternally His Design. And it's not just for Christians. The message is to, you know, hope, inspire, and have people think about their eternity because, you know, we're not always going to be here doing that. I also, last week, I didn't speak about a web series that I've been doing for over a year with Mattel called Barbie's Life in a Dream House. I play the best friend of Barbie, Nikki, and it's they're one to two minute webisodes through Mattel. And they are so funny. If you guys get an opportunity to check them out, and you wouldn't think that it's a reality show. It's a reality show animated Barbie series. And there's talking bobbleheads, and it's really a creative show that Mattel came up with. So if you guys get a chance to check that out, too, it's called Barbie's Life in the Dream House. Check that out. And then No Nerds Here, the T-shirt line, and I'm still acting. I have a couple of commercials that are airing right now and, you know, still auditioning and things like that and see what else God blesses me with. So, yeah,
awesome.
Just kind of stay busy, sometimes a little too busy. So I got to respect the downtime.
Now, I also know, right, exactly. I also know that you guys are parents. Like, how do you juggle career, family, kids, the whole shebang? I know that Jessica and I were talking on, you know, via Facebook all this time trying to figure out our schedule because, you know, it was like babies were there and it was, you know, crazy. So how do you do that?
Well, my kids are a little bit older than both of theirs. My oldest son is 12. He's in seventh grade and my youngest son is 9. So they're pretty independent. Actually, they're sitting here eating pasta right now, and I told them I have a radio interview. So I said, please, guys, don't be fighting in the background because, you know, it's just, that just won't be good. And they were like, okay, Mom. So they were able to handle themselves. You know, I know Jessica has two little ones, so I let her talk about that. And Jason's kids are, you know, pretty young too. So go on, Jess.
Well, I'm juggling them right now as we speak. I'm getting to the babysitter.
Appreciate you juggling. I will say this. Jessica had, like, a little situation where she possibly wasn't going to be able to make the show, and she figured it out because she knew that the fans knew that she was coming on. So she is a trooper. Thank you very much.
So my son is about to go crazy, and you'll all hear
God.
Him.
Yay. And you put him on the phone and let me talk to him if he does that.
Okay, can you say hi?
Hi.
Hi.
He just said hi. He's a little ham. Let's see. Yeah, I don't know how I juggle. I have amazing friends who help me out when I need help, and the best husband anyone could ever ask for. I just am so blessed. I'm married to really the most amazing man I've ever met in my entire life.
Amen.
So, you know, when I have to go out of town for work or, you know, go to a convention, he stays with the two kids, and I don't know how he does it because I would not be able to stay an entire weekend by myself with two little babies. They're both really young. One's 4 months old and the other one is 20 months old. So they're, they're babies.
I didn't even know you had a baby 4 months old. Now I really am mad at you because you were, like, so cute and
tiny
at the convention. Tiny. Like, last Morphicon, you were with – you had a baby inside your stomach. And I mean,
yes.
I was with her for 3 days, and then I, like, looked at her one day and was like, are you pregnant? Like, I thought you had a big lunch. And then I was like, oh, that's like a baby stomach. It was crazy.
Don't you know better? You never ask anyone if they're pregnant.
No, but it was like a little, like literally she had on like a flowy shirt, and I think she had
to be like 9 months
away.
You're allowed to ask.
I was
like, no, but
slapped
in the face.
No, she rubbed her stomach, and that's the only reason I kind of was like, why are you? But she was. It was like she was like, you were about to have the baby, like not too far after that, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But wow. So, Jason, how about you? Because I know you're married, you have kids. How do you juggle it all?
You know what? My daughters are 7 and 4, and up until, I mean, my wife hasn't worked. Just started working for the first time in 7 years. So
wow.
She's been a stay-at-home mom. So basically, when all the stuff that we're doing, or wherever I'm gone, it allows me the freedom to be able to let my schedule flow as it is. And she's been with them, so it's worked out pretty well. But she's home with the kids.
Wow. Very cool.
So what you're saying is you have a lot of free time.
What's that?
Only halfway kidding.
Is this Chad or Karen? Who am I talking to?
Katrina, you are horrible.
Ignore the Katrina girl on the show. But I will ask her this. I will ask this question on behalf of Katrina, since Katrina is always in pursuit of a ranger. All three of you were rangers. How did your significant others snag you? Because I would imagine, I mean, Jessica hinted to her husband being so amazing. What was it about them that made you go, you're the one for me, let's spend the rest of our lives together? Nikia.
Oh, it's an amazing story. Mine,
how
I think.
How he romanced you.
Well, you know, okay, the funny thing is I met my husband in New York City outside of a dance club. At that time,
ooh,
I was actually on Power Rangers. I had taken a vacation for the first time to New York. And the dance club, because I love to dance, the dance club wouldn't allow guys to get inside the dance club without a girl. So his friends, he was a little shy, his friends asked if they could come in the club with us. And I was like, yeah, sure. So we became friends for like a year and a half. And out of the blue, I got an audition for The Lion King in New York. And I was, you know, in Los Angeles, and I never really had any auditions out in, you know, New York. So I go to the audition. Nick and I are friends. Nick is my husband, who is an incredibly amazing man as well. He let me stay with him. And we were just friends, and he was, no. He was so sweet. No, he was such a gentleman, didn't try anything. And let me just tell you, at the dance club when we were dancing, my husband can dance. And I was like, I had to stop on the dance floor and watch him dance because I was just absolutely amazed. But we were friends for a year and a half, and we just had great conversations, and he actually moved out to Los Angeles so that we could be together because he had never been to California. So he moved out here and started his life to be together. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow, that's amazing.
It's a blessing. And two beautiful kids later.
Aw, so tell me this, like, were you attracted to him when you called him and said, hey, I got to come to New York, can I stay with you?
Yeah, the funny thing is when I saw him, though, because we only saw each other that one night at the dance club, and he was coming back to see me before I left, but he was taking forever. So, and I only had a day left there, so he was taking a long time. So we left a note on the door, my friend and I. We went into the city, and I didn't see him again, but we had great conversation. And the night that I saw him, it was 12 degrees in New York, so he had on this this jacket that went up to his nose and this big hat. So I couldn't remember exactly what he looked like. I just remembered he could dance really well, and he was very nice to me, and we had great conversations. So when I saw him and we went out to New York, I was like, ah, I'm in love, Lord.
Katrina, there's hope for you, Matt. Yeah, they met at a dance club.
I like it. Yeah. I may or may not have gone dancing with one. Mm-hmm.
Right, yeah. Katrina did go out dancing with a Power Ranger. Okay, so Jessica, tell us, we need the scoop. How did your husband snag Miss Jessica Ray, the Ranger?
Y'all are going to think I'm crazy.
Oh, we like to tell us. Go.
I want to hear this.
I met my husband online.
Oh, me too. It's okay.
My cousin put me on this dating website. So So I was like, you're crazy. And then I saw a picture of him and was like, well, hey, he's cute. And I read his profile. I was like, well, I kind of like him. So I started talking to him, like, through email and on the phone. And then I flew out to New York for a meeting, and he was going to be in New York, too. So we met in New York City, just like Nakia and her husband. I had no idea, Nakia,
oh, that
your husband
funny.
In New York.
I didn't know that either.
But, you know, before I went, I was like, Lord, this man could be a murderer. Like, I have no idea. So I seriously was like, please. Like, I don't know anyone who knows him. For some reason, that was my concern. I don't know anyone who knows him. I don't know anyone who knows him. And then, randomly, I was at my friend's apartment in West Hollywood. This girl knocks on the door. She's a friend of his, needs a place to stay, so she comes and stays with me for 2 days. And we're talking about this dating website. And I said, you know, Matt told me you're on the dating website. She was like, yeah. I said, have you ever met anyone? She's like, no. She said, you know, I did. I met this one guy just as a friend. He was traveling across the country, and I met him in Chicago. I showed him around, and he was fine. He wasn't a murderer or anything. Calm down. I just thought, like, I
that's
this light bulb went off in my head.
I said
to her,
right.
I said, this guy that I'm talking to,
hold on, just because he didn't murder her doesn't mean you got a murder.
You got a point, Katrina. You got a point.
Well, we're in the car, me and this random girl, and I said, you know, she told me she'd never met anyone but this guy who's traveling across the country. A light bulb went off in my head. I said, wait a minute. The guy that I'm talking to was traveling across the country, and he went through Chicago. Maybe it's the same guy. She thought I was crazy. I said his name, and she was like, that's him. That's him. That's the guy. So my worry was that I didn't know anyone who knew this guy, and then randomly I met this girl who knew him.
Okay,
wow.
Wait, I missed something. I thought you said the girl was his friend.
She had met him when he was traveling across the country. She met him from the same
website.
Okay, so wait, where did the girl come from? How did you end up meeting this random chick?
She knocked on my friend's door. She was friends with my friend. She needed a place to stay.
Okay.
She was in L.A. Pay attention. Pay attention.
It's all crazy. Well, no, I thought I heard you say that she was his friend. I'm like, girl, you are nuts.
I'm
yeah, so,
too,
you know.
You're not alone. I was confused, too.
Okay.
So then I met him in New York,
right.
He moved out to California 6 months later so that we could be together, and 6 months later we were engaged. Yeah.
Wow. Well, you're not too nuts because you got a husband, Jason.
And he is the best.
Right, and he's, like, the best. He takes care of the kids. I'm just, like, in awe of him right now. So, Jason, how did your wife snag a ranger?
If you say anything about
ranger.
New York, I'm going to flip.
Anything about New York or dancing or online dating, right?
Right.
You know what? We bartended at the W Hotel together in Westwood.
Oh, wow.
So when so when the W
I've
opened,
drunk there before.
Good,
me
I
too.
Did too. Who was that? Was that Karen or was that?
Yeah, that was me, Karen.
All right, I probably served you those drinks, but we
probably.
Before when I first moved out there, we both worked at the W Hotel, and that was before. I mean, I had gotten some bit parts on soap operas, but that's before I was actually on the show.
Mm-hmm.
And so at the time, we kind of were friends for a bit, and then which was kind of interesting because she got to meet single Jason for a while because we worked at a club. I mean,
mm-hmm.
So that was kind of an interesting transition from friend to that. But we worked together there, and then while I was at the W is when I booked Power Rangers, so that's when I was able to finally quit the restaurant business for good.
Wow.
But we met there way before it even happened.
Mm-hmm.
And what I thought was so neat about her is that she, well, sorry, bud, she is from New York, so there's your little slice of New York.
Oh, what the hell?
I know, I'm sorry, I threw that in there.
They're all from New York, right? Like, I think all of your husband, Jessica, from New York?
Nick, my husband's from
New York,
Jersey.
Is that what you're saying? Shit.
Katrina,
so, okay,
you did meet a guy in New
it?
York at my wedding, honey. Just saying.
Oh, that's right, but there weren't any Power Rangers there.
We've got
to put them in spandex. We can make it happen.
Are there any Power Rangers from New York?
Right. So back to you, Jason, and what was so neat about her? We didn't get to that good part.
You know what? What happened was, not to get into specifics, but when the W first opened in Westwood, it was obviously a lot of pretty high list celebrities were always rolling in there in the beginning. Because I don't know if you guys were here when it opened like 10 years ago,
mm-hmm.
but it was that place. It was that place for a bit. So, so that was it. What I thought was kind of neat about her, she was pretty regular, and there was a pretty, you know, top of the line celebrity that had come in one night that was trying to really get to know her and give her a number and all that, and she wasn't a star chaser, which I thought was pretty neat. We kind of established that through a friend of hers, and so she was just kind of a pretty regular girl, and I thought that was neat about her.
That's definitely neat in Los Angeles.
It was. I mean, it was kind of like, And so anyway, I guess I shouldn't say the specifics of the story, but she was pretty cool like that, and we met before the show, and she was around when I was driving a blue little Chevy pickup truck with 200,000 miles, and she's still around now.
Wow. Great.
Okay, so Jason met the girl before the show. Jessica, were you on the show before or after you met your husband?
I was on the show before I met my husband.
Oh, so the girls
mm-hmm.
were... Okay.
The girls
all
were
right.
Rangers, and they got snagged.
Yeah, when I met my husband, though, he didn't know I was on Power Rangers.
Sure.
He learned afterward.
My husband didn't even really know what Power Rangers was. He was like, what do you mean you're a Power Ranger?
Right.
For Halloween? He's like, for Halloween?
Right. So this is my question, because I had to deal with this a lot in my, you know, obviously now I'm in a long-term relationship, but even leading up to this, like, there have been times that I've dated people, and then it eventually comes up that I was on this show, and it's eventually they find out that I was on Power Rangers, which usually like, blows people away, because it's a very nostalgic show, and a lot of people grew up with it. And so
yep.
How do you guys work your way through that? Because I'm serious, like I've had guys get mad at me, and I was like, well, what was I supposed to say? Hi, I'm Karen Ashley, Aisha, the Yellow Power Ranger.
Right.
That is what I open with. I don't open with that one, you know? So how did you, you know, being that you were on such a popular show and you meet the loves of your life, how did that subject come up?
You know, I think we were just having conversation and getting to know each other and so forth, and we were talking about, and I always feel, I don't know, I feel kind of crazy talking about my career, because I don't like to, when you're talking about, okay, well, I'm an actress and da-da-da-da, and I don't know.
Right.
Then people want to ask, like, 50,000 questions about it. Like, what have you done? Like, you have to list your whole resume.
Uh-huh.
Right on your resume. Uh-huh. But I don't know. He was just real from the very beginning. And he was there during Power Rangers. He was there after Power Rangers. Because after Power Rangers, most people have now found out, when I was on the show and when Karen was on the show, it was not a union show. So we got a paycheck, and see you later. We didn't get residuals or anything like that. So after Power Rangers, I didn't book a television series again. You know, I did, you know, guest starring roles here, guest starring roles there. I started substitute teaching. And so my husband, you know, he was my boyfriend for a period of time. So he went from, you know, Nakia having money to Nakia not having money, being there in the broke stages, God lifting us back up and where we are now. So he's been there for the long haul. If he was just there for the
mm-hmm.
Power Ranger thing, he would have been out, you know, within a year or two.
Good
but,
for you.
You know, he's been there from the very beginning, and we've built our own company and so forth like that. But Power Rangers wasn't really a huge thing for him. He loved me for who I was or who
right.
I am. And
you know what's cool about Nikia's husband? He's got an amazing career. Like, he builds sets, correct?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
He
we own a set
own
company.
Company.
Yeah. Yeah, it's been very, very nice. And that was built, we've been married almost 13 years, and we've had the set company for about 8 years.
Wow.
Yeah, and it's all been word of mouth, and the way that God has blessed it has just been absolutely amazing. A lot of our sets have been seen on Disney Channel shows and ABC shows. It's been a blessing, absolute blessing.
Yeah, very talented. So what about you, Miss Jessica? How did the whole Power Ranger conversation come up?
I don't even remember. I I I think it came up in conversation. Same thing, you know, I'm an actress. Okay, what have you done?
Right,
said Power Rangers. And to tell you the truth, I get so embarrassed. Like, he's never seen me act before. I've never let him see anything. No Power Rangers,
are you
no
serious?
Nothing. I know.
You're
wow.
funny.
You are so funny.
Were
I'm
you
crazy.
In a hospital for a minute? Like, how do you not see that?
I don't, my husband just doesn't, like, we don't watch TV at home ever. And so, yeah, he's never seen any of it, and that's it. The other night I was looking at my reel because I was sending it to someone, and I had it on the computer, and so it was on for maybe 30 seconds, and my son looked at it and was like, Mama, Mama, and then I turned it off, but that was all my husband ever saw.
He never Googled
wow.
you.
There he is.
That's
again.
That's not
Hi.
True. Jessica said, hey, Steven, I'm a Power Ranger. You want to do it or what? That's exactly what she said.
Jason is crazy. No, I'm married a nerd, though. My husband is a physics teacher.
Oh, I love it.
So I love nerds. Those are the men
so
to marry.
So let's get physical, physical. I'm telling
Don't
you.
Don't quit your day,
The nerds are where it's at, I'm telling you. They've kept our careers going forever.
I know.
Mm-hmm.
I tell Jess that all the time. I say, Jess, thank God you're not married to me. You would hate life.
He said it to me. He said it to me like 2 hours ago. I talked to him.
But you're either in Vegas or you're watching football. What's going on? That's all you do.
You know what we need to do, guys? We need to take some calls because I know the fans are going berserk. They want to ask you questions.
Yep.
And I can go on and on getting all in your business. Uh-huh. So, Jeff, do we got some fans who want to talk to the No Nerds Here cast?
We sure do.
We sure do.
Yes.
Okay, we've got Jeff from, I think, Missouri. With a question for Jessica.
Oh.
Hello. Hello, this is Jeff. Jessica, you may know my Twitter handle, JeffMW.
Yes, I do.
Yeah, and I guess the question I have is when you were doing your episode with Richmond, who was playing your father,
mm-hmm.
did you see his work on Renegade?
I had seen some of his work, yes, and every time people see that episode, they're like, hey, that's the guy from Renegade. He was awesome.
Yeah.
He's the father of one of our production assistants, or he was the father of one of our production assistants on Power Rangers.
Yeah, and if I can, can I ask a question to Jason?
Sure, ask for it.
Is it okay? Is it
yeah,
okay
go
to
ahead.
Ask? What was doing all... What, did any of that time travel stuff on the show give you a headache? Trying to take all the talk, all the time travel talk.
Did it give me a headache?
Yeah, you know, the timeline, time travel, all that stuff.
Oh no. We had a great time doing that. So no headaches. Just breathe in and out. Breathe in and out.
Yeah.
Thank you for calling.
Yeah.
And we appreciate your support of the show. And I just want to throw this disclaimer out, guys. Be sure to ask one question just because we want to take as many questions as possible. I know Nakia's got to leave a little early.
Actually, I'm good today. I'm good.
Oh, you're good. Yay.
I'm good.
Okay, fine.
Yeah.
So, let's get to the next caller. And remember, guys, their characters were their characters. They're real people. Anyway, on to the next caller.
Our next caller, anybody? Jeffrey?
Where's our call?
It's a big fat ball, and he's dropping it.
Hey,
hello.
This is Allison. Sorry. This
it's okay.
Hey, Jason, Nakia, and Jessica. I would have loved to have been at Paramorphicon. I could not made it. I have a question. I'm actually planning on going in 2014 with my mother, so she has no idea what she's expecting.
Oh, that's great. We look forward to meeting you.
Yes, and I have a question for you, Jessica. Since you did play Alyssa, which your character inspired me with my schooling, since I do have a learning disability, did you take your schooling with business management seriously? Because it was growing up, it was so inspirational seeing you doing
this. You mean
actually,
in real life or my character on the show?
Like, either or.
Yeah, of course. In real life, I was getting my master's degree in business when I booked the show. And so I had to take a leave of absence, but it was awesome because my character, Alyssa, was a college student on Power Rangers. So it's like I was back in school again, except I just had to tell the PAs to write A-plus on my papers instead of
I heard that.
But, yeah, I took it very seriously. I went back after I finished at Power Rangers and I graduated and got my MBA. But yeah, I took
very
it very
cool.
seriously, and I love school. I would be a professional student if I could be.
I like that. Thank you, Allison. We love you.
I have a question for Jessica. Jessica, when you were a little kid, what did you want to be when you grew up?
I wanted to be a pediatrician because I hated my pediatrician.
I like it.
Katrina, if you paid attention during the women's panel at Morphicon, you would have known that.
That's why I asked, but I wanted everybody else to know who wasn't there.
Yeah, okay. Well, you know what, Jason, what did you want to be when you grow up? That's actually a good question, and Nakia, to both of you, because I'm sure the fans want to know.
You know what, is that a question for Nakia or me?
For you,
both
for
you.
Oh, you know what, my whole earlier years, I played college and some pro baseball. So my earlier years, it was all about becoming a professional baseball player. That's all I wanted to do since I could remember.
Wow.
And
very cool.
I went
to... Did you play, Jason? What position did you play, Jay?
Shortstop.
Oh, okay. I used to play
shortstop.
Shortstop.
Yeah, so I went and I played college ball at North Carolina, and then I played pro ball out in Southern Indiana. Actually, our home stadium where we played was where they created and built a stadium for the movie League of Their Own.
Okay.
Yeah, with League of Their Own with Madonna, and so they built an actual stadium in Huntingburg, Indiana, and that's where our home stadium was. We sold out 3,000 fans a night, and then I played pro ball for a bit, and then when I got released, I basically packed up my bags and headed out to L.A.
Wow.
So that was what I wanted to do. So that and I wanted to become an actor for since probably my sophomore year in high school, but I spent so many years with baseball that I had to just see it out through college and pro ball, and so I knew I was kind of done playing. And,
right.
And then that's kind of when I could drop that and move on to the other one.
Right. So what about you, Nakia? What did you want to be when you grew up?
I said when I was younger that I was going to be an actress, singer, dancer, model, and a cashier.
That's awesome. I love it.
And I've done it all. I loved pressing
yes.
the buttons as a cashier. I don't know. There was something about calculating numbers and pressing the buttons and hearing the ding. It was just lovely. Yes.
I would like to take the money. I could understand
that.
If
you're doing your clothing stuff, I bet you can count some money with that. So that's most definitely.
For sure. Well, let's get to the next caller because I know they're dying. They're like, shut it up, Karen.
Okay, we've got Kevin.
Kevin.
Hey, Kevin.
What's the question?
Hi. Hey, I was at Morphicon last August for the first time ever and met all four of you there, so that was cool.
Thank you for coming out.
Yeah, I was even at the No Nerds here filming, and I remember, being like third row when everyone's like yelling No Nerds here, No Nerds here, and like then all of a sudden the camera guy comes up like right on me, and, like 3 feet away from me. I'm like, and I'm just trying to think, don't look at the camera. Thing on the panel.
Sounds like you got a close-up. What's your question?
So anyway, the question is, do you guys, how much more of this do you have to film for that? And when exactly
is that going to be released? Do you have any
good question
on that yet? Or?
We're still finishing up the pilot, and then we're going to shoot the rest of a first season before we release anything. But we're going to be releasing some teasers here and there. So make sure you like us on Facebook so you can check those out, Kevin. Maybe you'll see yourself.
I'm doing that. I like to be teased. You hear that, guys? Like them on Facebook. Like them on Facebook.
Like them on Facebook. I like that. Thank you, Kevin. Good question.
Mm-hmm. Okay, we've got Brianna.
Hello.
Hi, Brianna.
Hey,
what's up, Bri? What's your question?
My question is, okay, you guys were like all of our superheroes growing up when we were kids. So who was your, like, top superhero?
Good question, Bri. I loved, this is Nakia, I loved Wonder Woman. I also, my brother and I would pretend to be She-Ra and He-Man. So I was She-Ra
after my heart. I know, me too. How about you, Jessica?
I was going to say She-Ra too.
Oh.
I love She-Ra.
I did too.
Need
what
to bring
you,
back some She-Ra.
I know,
I
right? Just, they should do a remake of that.
They should. They absolutely
should. They
should,
yeah.
I was a Superman guy. I was a Christopher Reeve Superman guy. That was what I grew up on. And in terms of superheroes, that would have been it. I have a lot of Superman stuff.
No.
Like
awesome.
Superman underoos?
Yep, Superman brief, right?
Yum.
Yeah,
Katrina, I'm liking him more and
too.
More.
I think he's in love with him, too. I heart you, Jason. I heart you.
Oh, I love it. I heart you guys, too.
All right. Next caller. Good question, Bri. Thank you.
We've got Scott in New York.
Hi. I've got a question for Jason.
Yes, sir.
What's up, Jason? What's up, Scott?
I was following Morphicon on Twitter and I saw it was amazing. I wish I was there, but I read in a couple of places that there was supposed to be a Time Force movie. Is that true?
You know, I don't think that there was. They talked about keeping our cast around for. I've heard before that they talked about keeping us around before we left, but we were never officially invited to be back. And as for a movie, no, I've never heard of anything like that. It would have been a ton of fun to do, and we would have all definitely done it, but there was never any talks, to my knowledge, of any kind of movie being done with Time Force.
Hmm. Wow, good question, though.
It would have been fun, though, and we would have definitely had a good time doing it.
I bet. You guys had a great cast. Definitely.
Yeah.
So how did the three of you guys get so close? Because it's like you three are from three different seasons. Did it just come from meeting each other at the convention?
Yeah, that's
funny. Jason wanted to date me and Nakia, but we were like, we're married.
Look, and I didn't see anything wrong with multiple wives. It's not really illegal in some states, right?
In Utah, it's cool. I'll be wife number four. It's cool.
Actually,
Tina's still holding out hope.
Jason and I worked on a reunion episode together. His cast came back during my season. So that's how I met him. And then I just reconnected with him again at the last Morphicon. Not this past one, but the one before that. And then I met at that Morphicon, right, Nakia?
Yeah, yep. You met me at the 2010 Morphicon, and we became instant friends. Actually, Tracy introduced me. Oh, yeah, you were there, Karen. Tracy introduced me to Jessica. And it was just kind of like an instant just love for that child, Jessica. And then we saw each other at a couple of conventions after that. And then we just got into talks and really got to know each other. And, I guess that's how it kind of came about, right, Jess?
That is true. And then you met Jason where? At Comic-Con in San Diego?
Was that the first one? Yeah. No, wait, we did one.
Met,
no, 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 it was Roswell.
I don't think we met in 2010, Nikita, yeah.
No, 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 it was Roswell.
Roswell at the airport.
I met Jason at the airport in Roswell when we were doing our first convention together. That was in June, I think, of this year.
Yep.
That's
right.
That was before Jason was abducted by the aliens.
Right.
The alien woman from Australia.
Right. That's funny. See, you guys are going to get the fans riled up. Now you're going to start getting the crazy questions again. Okay.
Oh, trust me, they're on their way.
Well, I need to know, did any of you guys, back way before you were married, back way in the days when you were filming, did anybody have an off-screen hookup with another ranger? Was there
any love affairs?
You don't need
to name Jason. I think Jason liked the Red Ranger from my season, but.
Ricardo got a man crush on me, but I was dating my then wife.
Right.
So you were taken. I can neither confirm or deny.
The man crushes. Did you ever have any love affairs on the set?
I didn't have any love affairs.
How many like affairs?
I didn't really have any like affairs when I did first get on the show. Steve and I became really good friends. We hung out and went to dinner once, but that was about it.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm a little boring.
I know, I was too. Like, I don't know if you guys know this, but Jeffrey, my co-host, started vicious rumors about me. He says the reason I left the show was because Jason Frank and I were having a illicit affair, and I got pregnant with my illegitimate child named Blake Foster. Like, I had the first Power Ranger baby, which was Blake Foster. Because all of a sudden I disappear, and then Nakia shows up, and then here comes Blake. It was all a mess.
Oh, that's funny.
And don't forget,
that's so
boring.
I know, it's such a
good
storyline.
Somebody also had an affair with Gianni. And
oh,
she
kicked
a nasty drug habit. I mean, there's a lot of things in her past people just didn't know about.
Someone should have gotten impregnated like
that. Right. When Johnny was on the show, he told him, I know you guys had an affair. And Johnny's like, she's like my sister. But it's like so sad because I am so boring that he has to make up vicious lies. So.
Oh, my God. But that would be pretty funny if two Power Rangers did have a baby together. That would actually probably equate to some People Magazine news.
That would be like my dream come true.
Right. So let's get to these crazy calls because I know we got some crazy calls coming. Let's get to them before we're out of time.
Okay, we've got Damon.
Hi.
Hi, Damon.
Hi, everyone. How's everybody doing?
Good.
Great.
My question is for Nakia.
Yes,
When you were on the show, it showed like you had a lot of martial arts training and you were training with Adam and Tommy. But I noticed you that in one of your years you were on Polymorphicon, and you said that you had a lot of like choreography that was cut out, like
of the movie. Yes.
Like what? What was it like? Like, was it complicated to do, or was it just...
Well, you know, I came on the show as a... Catherine and I came out on the show as a dancer. I didn't come with martial arts training. I learned the style while I was on the show. So the training that I learned on the show was just... Koichi and the stunt guys, absolutely amazing. We had some incredible fighting scenes for the Turbo movie. No, they weren't hard. They were challenging, but I loved the physicality of it all, so that made it not so challenging. But, you know, there were some lost footage. I don't know what happened to it. I would love to see the fighting. There was some amazing fighting. So to answer your question, yes, there was some lost footage there. We did have our fights were, obviously choreographed because if we just go out and they said fight, then somebody's going to get accidentally hit. people are going to get hurt.
It happened anyway with the choreography.
Yeah.
Right. They still got hurt. That's true.
Yeah.
Well, let's try to squeeze in two more calls. We've got about 6 minutes, so guys, let's get to it.
Okay, we've got Amanda.
Amanda.
Hi, Amanda. Guys.
Hi, Amanda.
Hi, Amanda.
Hi, I was at the Power Morphicon with you guys filming the No Nerds here.
Oh,
awesome.
Great.
Thank you.
Yeah, I was like the pink Power Ranger that was trying to run away from the guy with the sword.
I remember. I remember.
I usually run towards the guy with the sword, but carry on.
Yeah. My question's for all you guys. What was, like, your best, like, memory on set? Was there, like, a funny moment? Did it was like a, oh, my God, that was so funny, things like that?
Oh, gosh. Jason, why don't you go first?
You know what, I think... So I think my best moment was probably the very last episode when Wes and Jed said goodbye at the beach scene, because we knew it was our last episode. We all had a great year and we were all really sad to go, and it was a pretty strong moment emotionally in real life and in the scene. So I think that was the greatest moment, because it was just kind of a very memorable day. So I would say that last goodbye scene between Wes and Jen was the one I remember the most.
Very cool.
I would say my first... Oh, go on, Jess.
Oh, no, go ahead, girl.
I would say my first day on set when I first stepped into my dressing room, and then when I first stepped on the set, I was just in awe, because at that time I was still a student at UCLA studying theater, and to actually be able to work in the profession that I'm studying for, I was just like, oh, my goodness, thank you, Lord God. I would say the first time I stepped on the set, and then I would also say the last day as well, because Catherine and I just could not stop crying, because we were like, oh, we're going to see each other again. It was pretty sad. It was very, very sad. So those are the most memorable, yeah.
I would agree with that. I was going to say the first day that, I couldn't believe it. I mean, Power Rangers was my first TV audition ever, except for commercials. I had never auditioned for anything. And, you know, when I stepped on to the soundstage, I was just like, wow, this is crazy. Like, this is what I'm going to be doing for the next year. And then my very last scene, it was a green screen scene. I was standing there. I was supposed to be wet, so they had to keep spraying me down with water. And when they told me it was a picture wrap, they called it out, and I just stood there and cried. And all the wardrobe people, everyone came and just hugged me. But it was very memorable, very sad, and yeah.
Wow. I don't know that we have time for another question, but I will say that you guys have been so much fun. Thank you for coming on the show with us and acting crazy. And, of course, you know, we ask you plenty of personal questions. We try to ask questions that people don't normally ask.
But they want to know.
Katrina.
Yeah, they want to know. The people want to know. Exactly. The people want to know. So thank you for rolling with the punches with us, guys.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you so much.
Yeah, and okay, we'll go around one last time. I want everybody to tell people where they can find you, where they can support you. Go ahead.
Facebook and Twitter everywhere. Tell us.
Yes.
Yeah, jasonfont.com is my official site. And, of course, I've finally been forced up on Twitter, so I'm on Twitter now and I've got my fan site. But jasonfont.com has all of my stuff and all my future things that are coming up.
Awesome.
You can find me at... Jessica Ray Ray is my Facebook. Jessica Ray Ray is my Twitter. We have RaceStillmore.com, and then for No Nerds Here, of course, the Twitter handle is No Nerds Here Show, and the Facebook is No Nerds Here.
Awesome.
All right. And my Facebook is Nakia Baris, and my Twitter is NolanG1, because I didn't really, when I was setting it up, I really didn't know what I was doing, so I might have to change that to Nakia at some point.
I was wondering.
We'll help you set up a new one, girlfriend.
Yes, I know. I need to set up a new one. And you can see my web series Barbie's Life in the Dream House, where I play Nikki. It's on Mattel. You can go to Mattel.com. And my T-shirt line, Eternally His Design. I'd love your support. Please like my page, too, even if you don't like me. That's okay. You can still like my page.
it's
Nikia Baris. And No Nerds Here. Please continue to support our show and just keep checking up on us. We really, really appreciate it. And thank you so much, Karen and Kat and Jeffrey, for having us.
Thank you so much for joining us. I know that the chat room is going crazy, and they love you guys. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Yeah, and welcome back, Kat, from China. We're happy to have you back. Good night.
I miss my crazy partner.
Good night. Bye-bye.
I know.
Good night.
We love you.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Mooches. Kat is back.